Open your Bibles here tonight to be in the book of Joshua here tonight as we start a new year here. And Joshua chapter 1 here. Joshua chapter 1. I'd like to speak to the subject of when God stretches us to do something new for him. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Let's pray here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I ask you bless it to our hearts and minds. Father, I thank you for your word, which is truth. And as people of truth, Lord, may we hear your word and embrace it. And Father, I pray that you would just guide our thoughts here tonight. Help me honor your Son, Jesus Christ, your word, the eternal word of God. Bring glory and honor to yourself. Father, thank you for this time we can gather around as your people. So bless us, God. And Lord, may you receive the glory for everything that's said and done. In his holy name we pray. Amen. You ever felt life like you're a 5-gallon bucket with 10 gallons of stuff in it, trying to be put into it? You ever felt like that, that life is just running over? You just got too much on you? I was working with a plumber one time in a townhouse. And townhouses by nature are small, but they want to have 2 bathrooms in them sometimes. And, you know, they want to have all this stuff, but it's so compact. And the plumber told me, because I was doing HVAC work and he was doing plumbing work, and he goes, do you know what a townhouse is? I said, what is a townhouse? He says, it's a 5-gallon bucket with 10 gallons of stuff in it. And, you know, that's a townhouse. Everybody's cramming everything in. Nobody has any room. But, you know, life can be like that sometimes. We can feel layer upon layer upon us, and we can feel overwhelmed. We can feel that we just got too much on us. And Joshua here, now after the death of Moses, how many years did Moses lead the children of Israel? 40 years. How old was Moses when he died? 120. God called him at the burning bush when he was 80 years old. For 40 years, he led the children of Israel. Now, Joshua, he served, you know, he was Moses' minister. He served Moses and the Lord and military incursions before this. Anybody here would like to fill Moses' shoes? Do you know what I'm saying? Would you feel like a 5-gallon bucket and all of a sudden somebody says, I got to put 10 gallons inside this bucket? And you're looking at me and say, there may be 10 gallons of stuff, but I only got a 5-gallon capacity. This isn't going to work real well. And for Joshua here, he might have felt a little overwhelmed. He might have felt a little bit be stretched beyond measure. He might have felt that, Lord, how can you expect me to fill Moses' shoes here? Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them. Now, how many people is he talking about? We can read that. some estimate millions of people. Whoa. All of a sudden, millions of people are your responsibility. So now stand in Joshua's shoes, okay? He looks this way, and he sees millions of people. And he's supposed to be the guy in front, and everybody's following me. And I remember when I first got my driver's license. You know, when you're young, you're driving. And I remember at a stoplight pulling away and all these cars behind me, and I'm thinking, they're all following me. You know, I'm just like a young kid driving. I'm thinking, oh, these guys are following me, you know. But for Joshua, that was a real deal because they were following him. And so he looks this way. He's got all these people following him. And but if you look the other way, What was in the land of Canaan that he was going through? Who lived in the land of Canaan? Giants. You had the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amalekites, and somebody said all the Electrolytes, you know, all these different ites that lived there. You know, so Joshua, he's looking this way. Lord, you want me to lead millions of people? And then he looks this way into a land where there's all these enemies. And he felt in the middle, there's Joshua. He looks this way, he looks this way. And he's wondering, how can I do this? How can I do this? And Moses, my servant, said, you know, for Joshua, that was a loss. That was a grieving time. I think Joshua probably grieved for Moses because that was his leader. That's who looked up to. And that's the one that was in the presence of God. And, you know, anytime that somebody you love near and dear passes, it's a grieving time. And I'm sure Joshua went into that time where he was just grieving the loss of Moses because Moses always was there in front. Moses was one that talked to God and told people what to do. Moses was one that had the answers. All of a sudden, Moses isn't there anymore. And he probably deeply felt that loss. That's Joshua right here at the beginning of a new beginning. And well, where do we go as God's people when we feel like Joshua? You look this way, God wants me to do this. We look this way and it seems so impossible. And yet in the middle of that, when he's standing, he feels the loss of Moses. Right there in the middle, he feels that loss that Moses isn't there anymore. That's Joshua. And, you know, God had a word for Joshua. He said, verse 2, most of my servants did. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. That's what I want you to do. Thou and all this people, unto the land I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Now, tell me a little bit about the children of Israel. They just marched through the wilderness for how long? 40 years. What kind of people were they that he walked around 40 years with? Complaining people. And so Joshua may be saying, Lord, you want me to take these people and go this way? Because they tried that many years before and it didn't go over real good. It didn't go over very good at all. And what we don't want to be is people that are trying to lead God's people. We don't want to be those children of Israel that grumbled and complained. Because nobody's perfect. Moses wasn't a perfect servant. Joshua wasn't going to be a perfect servant. But Joshua, he had to know that if he's going to lead, they need to follow. And he had to know that God's going to be with him. So even the children of Israel, and he was well acquainted with them and how they lived and how they treated Moses. And he's probably thinking, oh no, they grumbled and complained about Moses all the time. Is that what I'm going to have to endure? Well, God started giving Joshua some encouragement here because he probably felt a little overwhelmed. And verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. That's the territory. That's the land they're supposed to inherit. All right, he knows the geography. Verse 5, there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, I don't care how much you got on the outside of you. This way, children of Israel. Inside, he's grieving. And he's grieving the loss of Moses. Inside, he's thinking, those people that complain all the time, I got to lead them. But then he looks this way and thinking, the enemy's this way and I got to take the land. He's probably feeling overwhelmed. But with that, God gives him some promises here. What's a promise in verse 5 that God gives to him? I'll be with you. Is that a good promise to have? Absolutely. And that promise, I'll be with you, is something that's, is that repeated in the New Testament? Where is it repeated in the New Testament? I'll never leave thee, forsake thee. How about in the end of Matthew? What's the promise in the end of Matthew? Lo, I'm with you always until the end of the age, end of the world. You know, to have God's presence with you is huge. Now, can a person grieve and quench the Holy Spirit? How do you grieve and quench the Holy Spirit? What happens when you grieve and quench? Okay. Is grieving an emotional word? Is that an emotional description? It's a grieving is almost a love type. You grieve when something doesn't happen the way you want to. Quenching, it kind of has the idea of what? Putting the fire out, right? So if the Holy Spirit is leading us, we don't want to grieve it. We don't want to quench it. Now, has there been people of God in the Bible that God says, I want you to go here, and they didn't go? Jonah. Yes, started with a J. You're exactly right, Karen. Yes. Yeah, Jonah. God says, go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, no way. I'm not going to Nineveh. He grieved and quenched. Boom, right down. But for Joshua here, God gave him some promise. I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, in his grieving for Moses and his feeling overwhelmed at the children of Israel this way in the conquered land, God was going to be with them. Now, in this coming year, you may have some losses in your life. As for Joshua here, Moses was a loss. And he grieved deeply. That's a huge loss. But also at the same time, not only was he dealing with the loss of a friend, a leader, somebody he served God with for many years, somebody that was meant everything to him, that was Moses. But then Joshua felt, looking around him, he probably felt overwhelmed. I can, at least in my spirit, I can see how he felt. He could have felt overwhelmed. And I think God sensed that. And within that, all that he felt around him, verse 6 says, be strong and of a good courage. Now, he says that in verse 6. Verse 7, he says, only be thou strong and very courageous. And in verse 9, he says, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Now, when it says be strong, where is he drawing that strength from when he says be strong? From the Lord. See, God says, I'm going to be with you. And when you have this challenge before you that you've never done before, that strength comes from God's presence within you. When you're being strong, now, in his humanity, could Joshua have said, I can't do this. In his humanity, in his flesh, if he looked around, would that be fair to say, I can't do this? Yeah, I could see how he could say that. In his humanity, he could say, I can't do this, Lord. These are grumbling people. They complain. They complain about leadership. Nobody can do anything right. And the enemy's over here. And Lord, this is too much. But the difference, when God says be strong, it's not Joshua using his strength. Whose strength is he using? Lord's strength. See, that's where we get our strength from. It's God in us. In obeying what he's put before us, we can be strong. Be strong and of a good courage. Now, Satan comes to what? Kill and maim and destroy. He can destroy people on the inside by not using the strength God gives to us. Now, when God gives us inner strength, where does that inner strength come from? In what directions? His word gives us promises. Is that strength? And that's strength for us. His Holy Spirit can give us peace. That's strength for us. The Holy Spirit can give us healing in our hearts. That is strength for us. The Holy Spirit can put people around us that can give us words of encouragement. That is strength for us. God can work in and through us to give us strength. So when he says, be strong, it's not only my resources, it's God's resources in me. Be strong and of a good courage. So if we're strong, give me a definition of courage. Courage is what? When somebody's courageous, they look at danger, and what do they do with danger when they're courageous? Okay, they head into it. Can you be courageous and your heart pounding at the same time? Absolutely. Yeah, your heart can be pounding. Wow, I think it was General Colin Powell. Is that right? Is there General Colin Powell? Do I have the right guy? He was in Vietnam, okay? His men, when he was leading his men in Vietnam, they were moving the troops across a field, and they all of a sudden they hit a field of landmines. And a couple guys, these mines went off, and one of his men were over there. and he was injured. He couldn't even move. And Colin Powell said, I need to help that man. But the problem was it was a minefield. They didn't know where to step. And he said his heart was pounding so hard. He picked up his leg and put it down to go to that man that was injured. He went over to him, picked him up on his shoulders, and carried him to safety. But he said he had to pick up his own leg and force it. Now, he was fearful, but he was what? Courageous. See, when you're courageous, you have fear right in front of you, but you push through that fear and you get the victory. And for Joshua, he had fear. I mean, you're looking at the enemy running at you, that can cause some fear. But what you do, you face that fear and you move ahead because God says, be strong. Now, when does God give us the strength? Before the engagement of the battle or during the engagement of the battle? When's he going to give us the strength? During. See, sometimes people say, God, you give me the strength and I'll go to battle. God says, no, you go to battle, I give you the strength. And when we engage in the spiritual battles of life, we get the strength in the midst of that. And God says to Joshua, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. In verse 9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? And you know, this year, God may have something new for you that you've never done before. And you say, I can't do that. I can't do that. But God says, if God calls you to do that, where he calls you, he's going to enable you. And where he enables you, he wants you to be courageous. And for Joshua here, God was giving him these things to be strong and very courageous. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, is God's will ever going to contradict his word? No. God's never going to tell you to do one thing that disobeys another one of his commandments. His word is always going to be unified in what he says. He's never going to give you one command that disobeys another command. And Joshua was encouraged, don't turn to the right hand, don't turn to the left hand. Then may prosper wherever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. When you speak God's word. You speak God's thoughts. God's word is God's thoughts. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You're thinking about what God has to say. You're thinking about God's word. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and thou shalt have good success. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness in Matthew 4, did Satan use God's word against Jesus? He did. But how did Jesus answer it? With what? God's word again. Shall man not live by bread alone? And finally, he said, get thee hence, Satan. And so for us as God's people, to know God's word is going to help us in this coming year. Now, I'm going to share a story with you. There is a minister back in the early 60s. He had a church, and he had an opportunity. There was a half-hour television slot that he could have. Another minister had it, and he was retiring and said, you can have this slot here. And you know what this minister said? I have never done television before. I don't know anything about it. And he didn't know what to do, and he prayed about it. And he decided the Lord would have him take it. Didn't know nothing about radio and television. But that was Dr. Falwell. And from that came the old-time gospel hour. Now, he had to take a step of faith because he didn't know. That was stretching him. He never done radio and television before. But somebody came up to him and said, hey, there's this half-hour slot on WLVA, and you can have it. I'll give it to you. Just let me know what you want to do with it. He could have said no, but he didn't. He looked at this and said, I've never done this before. God, are you in this thing? Because the worst thing you want to do is take something and then it what? Goes downhill on you. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows it went downhill. But he felt like God was in it. And he took that step of faith that And God blessed that. You know, sometimes opportunities knock. And only God says, be strong and be very courageous. I'm going to be with you. And we can feel like Joshua. Say, Lord, I'm only a 5-gallon bucket. You want 10 gallons of stuff in this bucket. Now, I don't see how I can do this. It's not going to happen. But if God's presence goes with you and His strength goes with you, you can do things that you don't think you can do as long as it's in God's will. In my own personal life, I remember years ago, I surrendered my life when I was about 19, and I started going to Thomas Road Baptist Church. A friend invited me, and he worked in the bus ministry. He asked me to help him in the bus ministry. I said, sure, I can do that. I said, what do I do? He said, you just ride on the bus and help with the kids. I said, well, that's easy enough. I can sit there and just watch kids and get them into Sunday school. You got to realize, I didn't know anything. I was raised in an Episcopal church. I didn't know any children's songs. I didn't even know where John 3:16 was in the Bible. You got to understand, I had a surrendered heart, but I didn't have any knowledge. And a week later, the bus captain, you know what he did to me? He quit. And guess who they made the bus captain? I was the only other guy left, so you're it. And I'm looking around like, you got to be kidding me. And so all the kids are getting on the bus, and they say, we want to sing. And I'm serious. My first week, I said, kids, I don't know any songs. You don't know any songs? I said, I don't know any songs. I said, do y'all know any songs? Yeah, we sing. So they taught me, and I'm the bus captain, you know? So we're getting kids on the bus. But you know what I did next week? I went back next week, and the week after, and the week after. And I was 8 years doing that, and I became a division leader and then associate bus director. And that was some learning curve. You know, I didn't know anything about this stuff, but the Lord blessed. And when I was a division leader, I got the inner city bus area. Now, inner city bus kids are the best behaved kids around. Is that right? They're just wonderful kids. And I won't say how some people described it, but one person used the word armpit, and I won't say any more than that. Okay, that's how he felt about the kids. But they gave it to me, and I said, thanks. You know, it was like, that was my division. And they had 5 routes running and 80 kids on 5 routes. Okay? Well, as time worked, and what I did was, because I didn't have enough captains for the inner city, because that was hard to get workers for those routes, and I visit with my captains, help them on their routes. In the afternoon, I had one bus myself, and I visit all afternoon with the kids. But after about a year, going on 2 years, on a big Sunday, we had over 500 kids on those 5 routes. The Lord blessed. And it went from being the worst division to where I heard one person says, you know why you got so many kids on your bus? Because they don't have nothing to do all day, and they just porch monkeys, and they just jump off the porches onto your bus. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. 2 years ago, you wouldn't have touched that area. But, you know, for me, when I read, be strong and be of good courage, if God's in it, you can do great things for God. Now, I share something else. Some of those kids are real problem kids, and I don't know what to do with some of them, because you love these kids. You know, they have no hope, no future, no parents. Nobody cares about them, you know. But you hate to put them off the bus, because that's their hope. But if they don't behave, it's such a tug of war. And I was praying one time, Lord, what do I do with these kids? They come, but they're just such problem kids. You know, they pull, you know, some of these kids would go around the church pulling the fire alarms down. You know those little red bars and little glass bars? Boom! And the whole church fire alarm's going on. Oh, no, not again. And the security come down, bringing this kid down. You know, he pulled the fire alarm, you know, and everybody in the church going crazy. And that's our bus kids. And that they come back on us, you know. We brought them, you know. We're their substitute parent, you know. That was bad, you know. And I was like, Lord, what do we do with these kids? I hate to put them off the bus, because that's like just, I don't know what to do. So I'm praying. And I had an idea. And I heard of this concept, big brothers and big sisters. You ever heard of that concept? And so I presented it to the bus director, and he presented it to the Christian Service office. And we started a Big Brothers, Big Sister program where a college student would take one of these troubled bus kids out for 3 hours a week, spend time with them, just do whatever, just nurture them in the Lord, just talk to them about how's your life going, just whatever they could be, just to be a positive influence in their life. That was their Christian service, and every student was required to have a Christian service. And I would read the applications of these students and, you know, sign them out and select them. And Rodney Wallace came up to me one time and said, he was the other bus director, I mean, not director, but division leader. And he goes, hey, there's a young lady right here. I think you'd like to read her application. And I did. And one thing led to another. And do you know where that young lady is today? Right there. Now, wait, I want to talk about something. What if when way back, when I was told to be bus captain, I said, no, I can't do this thing. It's too big for me. I don't know anything about kids, only kids' song. But because I felt God was in it, it just led one thing to another. And the Lord gave me a good wife, but it's a series of events. But you look back and you think, this one little decision here can have a lifetime effect way down here. But we got to be strong and of a good courage. And this year is a new year before us. And God might want you to do something you may never have done before. And you might say, how can I do this thing? But you can't. If God's in it, you can do this thing. And how can we be prosperous? Verse 8, that thou mayest deserve to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. I don't know what the year 2021 is going to mean for us as Americans and God's people, but I know this, no matter what happens, God is with us. God's going to take care of us, and God will encourage us as his people. Well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, I thank you for what we've looked at here tonight in the book of Joshua. And Lord, what a great book and a great man of God he was. And Father, I thank you that he was obedient. And Lord, how he had many challenges before him, God, just internal and external, Lord. But he was obedient to you, God, and he feared you and loved you and wanted to serve you. And you blessed him, God. So, Lord, I pray that this year that we as God's people would be strong and courageous, God. We wouldn't be fearful of taking on a new challenge or a new way of serving you or a new ministry or a new adventure for you, God. So, Lord, help us to be strong, knowing you give us strength. Help us be courageous, knowing you'll be with us. And, Lord, bless us toward this end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, praise the Lord.